Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download that app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from the SGPN crew. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. And we are also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head on over to getroman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP. And finally, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. From April 29th to May 4th, if you deposit on Underdog Fantasy, you have a chance to win $1 million in their best ball contest. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Hello, my degenerate friends, and welcome. Thank you for welcoming us back into your eardrums. It's the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 34. This one's dedicated to the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley, the greatest 34, the MVP on the Phoenix Suns back in the glory days. Actually, the best team in the league, I might add right now. So maybe these are the glory days. But we're not going to talk about basketball too much here. Occasionally we will talk about wrestling because Apple thinks we're a wrestling podcast, but we will usually not talk about basketball. So thank you for coming to the podcast. Hopefully you're listening to this on our brand new spanking new feed, the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. Our numbers there are going up, so a lot of you are finding us there, it seems. If you're still listening to us on the Sports Gambling Podcast main feed, please subscribe to our dedicated feed also. So I believe the plan is we're not going to be on the main feed for too much longer, and then you won't be hearing our amazing takes. And we did have some amazing takes for this last weekend's fight card. Let me tell you, we had some amazing takes. And if I sound a little different, as a lot of my fans know, who watch my Better Than Vegas videos, the pandemic may not be over, but the pandemic beard is dead. Rest in peace, pandemic beard. Long live the pandemic beard, but it is gone. So I may sound a little different because I don't have a huge beard. And I have to figure out what I'm going to do. I haven't introduced him yet, but my co-host likes to talk and talk and talk. And he has all these in-depth analysis of these fighters. He knows so much about people. And I usually just play with my beard and daydream when he talks, but I don't have a beard to play with anymore. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I won't let him talk. Maybe not. We'll have to wait and see. And that co-host, actually, when we went off the air last week, I realized he was taken aback because he thought I gave him a really nice complimentary introduction instead of crapping on him like I usually do. But I realized a second or two before he thanked me for being so nice to him, I had called him a fraud. during that introduction. So either he didn't hear that, or I think we have a case of Stockholm syndrome here, and he's starting to humanize his captor and tormentor. But regardless, it would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland, who's really good at picking fights again.
I'm back to being good at picking fights, and I will tell you, I definitely missed the fraud call because it did sound it was totally complimentary up until you snuck that in. Yeah. And I feel like I didn't even get that in production. I feel like I'm just being revealed to it now. So, I feel bad. If I hadn't done so well, I probably would have started this show in a bad place.
Yeah. Well, it was, I told you I loved you at the end of it, so I think that's you just heard that part.
That's the most important part.
but it was just being a fraud about the whole Gumby thing. That's all.
You're called Gumby, but
you know nothing about Gumby, so you are a fraud, basically.
I don't know anything about Gumby, but like I am Gumby embodied. So
he is Gumby embodied in mind, and he is damn good at picking fights. We ended up with. Speaking of last week's event, or depending on when you listen to us, it may have been last night's event if we get this out to you Sunday night. UFC on ESPN, Reyes versus Prochazka. We ended up with 10 fights that we actually had picks for.
11
fights, but one turned into a draw, so that one we'll just throw it out in the wash. We lost one of our underdog fights because... We had a fatty who came in 5 pounds overweight, and so that fight got canceled. Yeah, even though what's his name, Jonathan? Why am I blanking on his name? Jonathan Pierce. If he had listened to our show, he would have known. He would have taken that fight because he would have known that people who miss weight are only winning 34% of the time. So he would have not turned down the fight against Mowgli Benitez. Based on him being 5 pounds overweight, he would have taken it, knowing that he had a better chance of winning it. But
that might be true, but Luana Carolina, who missed weight earlier on the fight card too, she won having missed weight too. So this was one that was bucking the trend a little bit.
Very true. So we had 10 fights we actually had results for. Dan went 9-1. I went 8-2, so nothing that seems that for either of us. But Dan is back after a 6-7 and 5-5 week. He is back, baby. And the only fight he whiffed on was a split decision too. That was fight. Yeah, it was a split decision, right?
The Luana Carolina one, the one where she missed weight too. And I didn't even know she missed weight, and I would have, you know, that would have helped my pick even more.
Yeah. So he went 9-1. Like I said, I went. He was up about $500. I was up about 270. Past 2 weeks, so I am 17-6. So I'm back on a heater, I think, baby. And Dan is 15-8, which isn't too shabby either. So I think it's safe to say we're both on heaters, right?
Yeah, I think those numbers constitute heaters. We should go ahead and make good picks this week too, though, to just, you know, make sure that stays that way.
All right, let's do it. Maybe that. Yeah, I think I announced that a month or
that we're going to start making our good picks. Yeah, I'm right. Yep. Obviously.
Yeah, we're gonna dig our way back out. Now that we actually have more listeners, you know, we have to get on our promises here of picking fights. So for the year, because I know you at home really care. Actually, you should care because it shows you how reputable we or not we are. I am at 57% on my picks. Dan is up to 54%. So he is catching up. And I'm creeping closer to I want to get to be at least 60%. So we are getting close. I'm getting close to that. Dan's down $1,800. I'm down $2,100. So that shows you how much fun we had at the starting of the year with our picks. We both nailed our locks, which were basically the only two decent fights of the night. So now I'm 7-1 on my locks. I'm up 43%. Dan is up to 500, 4-4. He's down 18% though. So that is all these stats for. It was basically I guess you could call it a boring fight card until the last couple fights. I little did I know how much control I had on it. I tweeted out that I would I'd give my kingdom for a fight finish, and right after that we had two finishes. So if I had tweeted it starting the night, we would have had a much quicker and funner night, I believe, watching fights, because there was a heck of a lot. Everything was a decision except for one disqualification and the final two fights. So we had a lot of decisions and some split decisions as well, which are never fun to see if you got money on it. It's a very nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I agree with you. You know, I'd much rather there be a slew of crazy knockouts. But I will say there was like maybe three or four fights on that card that were very exciting to watch, despite the fact that we didn't get any finish on them. You know, like there were a couple of duds in there. There were a couple I didn't really love, but there were a couple that were quite fun.
Yep. No, it's true. It's true. Especially, and considering that you had a couple of split decisions, you had some close ones too. So we'll break down the whole card for you quickly here. But before, I want to tell you about WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. Okay, let's start at the top. What a fight that was. One fight of the night. Yuri Prochazka won via spinning back elbow over Dominic Reyes. And I think I had the tweet of the night. I tweeted that Yuri Prochazka, more like Yuri Profunshka, right, Dan? That's a good one, right?
I don't know if that's a good one or not.
He's super fun, though, dude.
He is. I will say that he is one of the most fun dudes to watch. Because I'll say this, too. Like, we've talked about guys being fun who go in there and just bang. And we've talked about guys who are being fun when they go in there and they're technical. And I feel like he's like a nice crossover between the two, right? Because, like, he is throwing an absurd amount of volume when he fights. An absolutely absurd amount of volume did he dump on Dominic Reyes. But he didn't look at any point in time like he was... there were times where he was sloppy. But not all that sloppy, right? Like, he was pretty well put together. And I expected him to start to fade a little bit in there or something. Because the volume was ridiculous. But... He looks like he could do that for 25 minutes, and that's insane.
Yep, no doubt. The hands down is quite a nerve-wracking experience if you got money on the guy. He eats a lot of shots.
Yeah, I'm worried about how that's going to work against Jan Blachowicz.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm and of course I'm speaking out of turn and saying that I think Jan Blachowicz is going to beat Glover Teixeira, and he will still be the champ to face Yuri Prochazka. But, like, yeah, against a guy who punches a little bit harder. Because Dominic Reyes, it's not that he doesn't have knockouts, but, like, when you look at the knockouts he's got, you know, like, he knocked out Chris Weidman. You know, he knocked out Jared Cannonier. And right now we're talking about him having knocked out two dudes who are actually middleweights. So, and, you know, he's got one other knockout in that UFC, and it was against Joachim Christensen. So, he's not exactly like a KO artist, would you say? So for you know, even he was tagging him, and you know, Jan Blachowicz tags you like that, it could be night.
Yeah, no, the power difference between Reyes and the champ is definitely a huge gap there. Yeah, Prochazka, he's one of those weirdos, oddballs that are in a good way that could really bring some excitement to a fight inside and out. He's, you know, with the haircut and his whole mental approach to martial arts and his quirky interviews and just the way he fights. I had a acquaintance say this is the type of guy that may, he's a bit of a lapsed fan. He said, this is a type of guy that may get me back into loving the sport again. Cause he's one of those guys. I commented that it's a lot like Fedor, where he gets himself in trouble and gets rocked in a fight only to come back and win the spectacular violent fashion, which is what Fedor was known for in the day, being on the brink of death and then somehow coming back and absolutely destroying the guy.
Yeah, that isn't a bad point either. Yeah, like he does seem to he does seem to just be one of those guys who... Although, did you feel like he was out of there at any point in time, or he was in a bad situation? Like,
well, he got rocked definitely in the it would have been the first round, or was it the second round when he got rocked at one point, and Reyes they ended up grappling and he ended up in the ground and Reyes had him, I think, in a guillotine.
Oh, right. He got loose. That's right.
Yeah, he popped out and he was fine by that point. But yeah, he definitely seemed to be not totally with it after that. And I was thinking, oh, man. By the way, we're bearing the lead. We nailed this. We said Prochazka via KO was the bet to make.
And so we encouraged you heavily, heavily to go out and put – that prop bet down I believe you could get it at plus 140, and it just seemed like such a slam dunk at that time. So We're going to toot our own horn on that one because not only did we get the pick right, but we got the method right and we encouraged the prop in addition.
Right. But yeah, going back to the question, that he seemed to be in a bit of a trouble then. I was thinking, because he was just looking amazing up to that point. Reyes was eating everything he was dishing out, but there were several flurries where it looked like he was at the point where he was going to stop Reyes. And then he got caught himself. But then obviously early in round two, he was early or late in round two. I can't even remember. Everything's a blur to me. And yeah, he nailed him with the swinging back elbow and that was the end of it. And he got himself his highlight reel knockout and looks like he's going to get a title shot next.
Yeah. I mean, they've said pretty much the winner of this was going to get it. To be completely honest, I think if it was Dominic Reyes who won this fight, you'd have a tough time selling me on him as the next title challenger, having just been flatlined by Jan Blankovic. Granted, that's again saying if Glover Teixeira doesn't win, like if Glover had won and Reyes had won, sure, you could pair them up. But yeah, I think that was more of an enticement for Jiří. It turns out that's all it needed to be an enticement for, because, man, is he's fun to watch. And come to think of it, now that you mentioned that he seems to put himself in a bad spot, did Volkan Ozdemir tag him too?
Probably. I don't remember anything, as you know. So if you can't remember, I definitely can't remember. But, yeah, he's been knocked out before. King Mo got him, and I think a couple other people have knocked him out. So it's not like he doesn't get himself knocked out. That's the one difference from Fedor. Fedor would not get knocked out back in those days, but
he does. He does now.
Yeah, he does now. Yes.
By bad fighters too.
Yes, he's been knocked out. Jiří, we don't have to worry about Jiří. He's only 28 at this point. So, and it doesn't seem like this is too much too soon either. Getting him into a title. A title shot. He's won two fights, both versus top challengers, both versus former title challengers, both via knockout. And before that, you know, he's got a slew of victims, like we mentioned in the preview to that event, a slew of victims in Ryzen and in Europe. A lot of names that people have heard of, a lot of big names. So I don't think it's too much too soon for him. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And you're right. Not only big names that people would heard of, you know, like CB Dalloway, Fabio Maldonado, King Mo, but also people who are UFC level talents too. And like Brandon Halsey and Carl Albrechtsen. And, you know, I mean, he knocked out the Bellator champ, Vadim Nemkov. Yep. So like, I mean, like he's been in there with all of the guys who he would have basically been in with on a run up the UFC light heavyweight division if he was there, right? Like, if you're a regional level light heavyweight who gets signed, you probably fight somebody like Fabio Maldonado or Brandon Halsey first, and then you fight somebody like CB Dalloway. And then if you are spectacular in both of those, you might get a last second replacement fight against Volkan Ozdemir. And so like he's basically done that same like run up the ladder. He just did it somewhere else.
Yeah, very, very true. And I forgot to mention last week is do you know what his nickname is? Denisa is the main nickname that we hear. But do you know what his nickname was in Japan?
I don't. But I will also tell you this before you get to what Denisa is.
Yeah.
Sort of a bummer here. He's trying to get rid of that nickname.
Oh, yeah.
I read on Twitter earlier today, I think it was John Anik tweeted it out, saying he's looking for fans to come up with a better nickname for him, which is, it seems like the wrong way to do that, right?
Yeah. Denisa, he got because apparently his trainer at the gym called out for a girl there named Denisa, and Jiří for some reason responded, and so that became his name, Denisa. But anyhow, his name in Japan was Cheko no Kicho, which means the Czech flying monster, which is an amazing nickname.
That's so much better.
I think
better.
He should just go with that.
That's better.
And that's and it fits him perfectly. So hopefully we've got lots more fun fights with that guy coming up. Now sounds like we're both probably at this point, we're both picking Jan Blachowicz to beat Glover. What do you think happens when Jan and Jiří meet up?
You know, I actually think I'll feel out Jan through the Glover fight, because I think Glover is going to bring pressure to Jan Blankovic. Obviously, a very different kind of pressure. You know, he's going to bring more, I want to put you up against the cage. But I want to see how Jan Blankovic reacts to somebody who very much wants to move him backwards. And I think that will largely determine whether or not I think he can handle Jiří Prochazka. Because if Glover's able to move him backwards, I'm picking Jiří. That's a bottom line, easy analysis piece, right? Is if Glover Teixeira's footwork and pressure is even if it's not too much for Jan to eventually deal with or counter, the fact that he's moving backwards against Glover Teixeira would be enough to give me pause and cause me to pick Jiří Prochazka.
Yep. I worry about Jan's power and Yuri's tendency to eat a bunch of shots. So I would pause on picking Jiří because of that, but we'll see. Like you said, it's good plan. We'll wait and see what he looks like after the Glover fight. And as for Dominic Reyes, someone's changed his nickname I see on Twitter to The Undertaker because the boy is dead. So I don't think his career is dead though. He's lost three straight, both via knockout. Two of those title fights though. Hopefully they'll just downcycle him to lower portions of the rankings, let him fight some guys there and work his way up. Or this could have destroyed his chin, and that could be the end of him as a top fighter. Right? You never know until we see him in there again.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying right there with this could be the end of him being a top fighter, or if his chin is destroyed, I think that really speaks to the type of fighter they should give him next. Is to determine whether or not that's true. And maybe that's cruel that I want to see him against somebody with some power, because I just want to see if it's over. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know. So, you know, like people like Ryan Spann, Johnny Walker, even Nikita Krylov, like that's the type of guy I want to see him against. I don't want to see him against, like, Magomed Ankalaev, who does have knockout power, but largely he wants to go in and wrestle you. And I don't want to see him against Anthony Smith or, you know, Misha Serkinov or Jimmy Crew. Like, those guys are all going to want to – I want to see somebody who wants to go in there and punch his lights out, and I want to see if they can turn him off again.
Yep. Dan is sadistic, but that's the only way you're going to find out whether this guy still has it or not. So, so we spent a lot of time on the main event, but that was the fight. That and the co-main event were the ones that really were the eye-openers of the night. Before we move on to the co-main event, let me tell you about Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Like, even Gumby got one pick wrong last week, so even Gumby isn't perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to getroman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2 days shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with the doctor and take care of it. So go to getroman.com/SGP now, and you can get $15 off your first month. Look, it's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $50 on your first month of treatment. Okay. The co-main event was a featherweight. And we got to see the Giga Kick, or is that, that's what he calls it, right?
That's what they're calling it, the Giga Kick.
A minute into the fight, he shut down Cub Swanson with the body kick. I guess he hit him in the liver, and that ended things, even though the referee insisted on him punching him a few more times before stopping the fight. But, but we were thinking he was going to win because of the kickboxing, and that definitely was the case here. Very impressive showing in a minute. Stopped a guy who does not get stopped in fights, basically. Cub Swanson is as tough as they come, and he's been knocked out twice in 39 fights total. That was his second knockout slash TKO loss on his record. The first one was like I'm thinking it was Jose Aldo. Which
yeah,
was
by like 5 second flying yeah, knee or some shit.
Fly knee and punches. 8 seconds. WEC 41. WEC never die. We talk about it almost every week, it seems. Yeah, so that was June of 2009. So Chiesa did not just pick off an old guy who's crumbling apart. He picked off a guy who does not get finished in fights, and he finished him extremely quickly.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't get this prop right, because heading into the fight, you were like, do you like the Giga Chikadze finish prop? And I actually said no, because sometimes he goes out and looks a little bit tentative, right? And especially if you look at his first couple of fights in the UFC, less so in the last one, but, you know, in the last fight before this one against Cub Swanson, he was fighting a guy, you know, no offense to Jamie Simmons, but, like, really not even close to Giga Chikadze's level, right? Like, he took that fight on short notice. Giga just wanted to get his punches in, and you know, he obviously felt really comfortable. So to see him that aggressive against Cub Swanson and look that good, whew, it's really hard to believe that this dude is not a top 10 featherweight, and maybe even higher than that. Like, you know, I was just looking at the rankings, and, like, would you put him, like, would you put him behind Dan Ige? I'm not sure I would.
Yeah. Would you my performance, yeah, the performance ranks, sorry to interrupt, performance rankings looks like after that he'll be up into about eighth or ninth, so firmly in the top 10 in my performance rankings on MMA-manifesto.com. Below Ige, though, but, you know, that's, Ige's had more fights in the UFC than he has too, which adds to these rankings and stuff. But yeah, he's right. Duffy, he's right in the mix.
Yeah, and I'd probably take him over guys like Arnold Allen or Sadiq Youssef. I maybe would pick him to beat Josh Emmett at this point. Man, him versus Yair Rodriguez would be fun as hell. Him versus Calvin Kattar would be like one of the most fun striking matches I can even imagine. So, like, yeah, like, I think he is, like, sky's sort of the limit for him right now in what he can do and where he can go next. I know he called out Max Holloway, who he's not fucking getting, but, like, you know, like, catapult this dude up the rankings. I'm ready to see him fight some dudes.
Yeah. Max Holloway is probably Max Holloway is probably what, a fight away for him, though. You think if he can pick off a guy in the top 10, then, you know, Holloway would be a reasonable opponent after that, you'd think.
Yeah, and I think that's true. Only here's the thing I will say about Giga too, is nobody has wanted to fight Giga. Like, no. When I interviewed him this past weekend, right before, by the way, Top Turtle guest,
hey,
doing well, look at that.
Yes.
So when I interviewed him right before this fight, he said Bryce Mitchell had turned down a fight with him, Shane Burgos had turned down a fight with him, Edson Barboza had turned down a fight with him. Like, there had been, and granted, you know, I'm not saying all those guys are scared of him. Like, that's a shitty narrative and a terrible, you know, you know, bad journalism. They're fighters. They're not all afraid of him. But the risk reward on fighting a guy like Giga Chikadze, who is not maybe dynamite on the mic or doesn't have like a funny backstory, right? Like, fighting Bryce Mitchell, despite the fact that he's dangerous, makes sense for a lot of fighters, right? Because Bryce Mitchell has got a ton of hype behind him. Giga is kind of a quiet guy on the mic, and he's from Georgia, so he's not, like, really boastful. He's, like, super respectful in all of his interviews. You know, like, for the same reason nobody wants to fight Merab Dvalishvili, who we'll talk about later, like, who would want to fight Giga Chikadze?
Yeah, well, hopefully this has got some, put some respect on his name, as the kids like to say. this was a high-profile opponent, high-profile spot on a card, and a very high profile outcome for him. So plus, hopefully he'll get a number beside his name in the official UFC rankings, and then people will be more willing to fight him, you'd think. He has we should mention this fight, he's a featherweight, 145 pounds. He has offered to fight Donald Cerrone next weekend. Donald Cerrone is looking for an opponent. He's offered to fight him at welterweight on short notice.
Would you consider betting Giga Chikadze if that was the case?
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially with the body kicks, definitely. That's Cowboys. Oh boy,
It's not like Cowboy could wrestle him up either. Like, I hope they make that fight, because, like,
make it.
How big would that be for Giga's career if he went up two weight classes a week after and just kicked Cerrone's head into a different zip code?
Yeah, it wouldn't be his head. It'd be his liver out of the back of his body, probably. But yeah, because he cannot take body shots. Yeah, that, now that I said it out loud, that would be lots of fun. I doubt that probably isn't going to happen. But who knows? Next weekend's card is, so we'll talk about before we get out of here, but it's in flux, to say the least.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very, very weird. All right, before that, we had Jan Kudalaba, Justin, I did that last episode too, I think. I called him Justin Jacoby. It's Dustin Jacoby, how about? They went to a very rare split draw. Someone in my pick'em contest on MMA Manifesto actually picked this fight to go to a draw, and he was right. He whiffed on a bunch of the other fights, but he didn't whiff on this one somehow.
Is he the guy who picks draw for everything?
No.
Oh, it's not even that guy.
Yeah. And another guy made his name. I guarantee I'm going to get 8 points, and he got 7 points. So he was almost right on the right on the button there. So, but regardless, after the first round, when angry boy Jan Kudalaba, who's one of the angriest boys, right? He's even angrier than Marvin Vettori, I think. But would you agree with
he's
that?
He's definitely angrier. He
turns green sometimes. And he's so mad.
I would also say, like, he's not just angry, but he's also And I don't use this word lightly. He's stupid.
Yes, he is.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're gonna collar tie a guy at weigh-ins? And, like, do you remember the time he just, like, walked directly into Magomed Ankalaev? Like, he was just, like, strutting across the cage, and everybody was like, well, yes, he's not gonna run into him. And then, like, no, that's what he did. He ran into him. And Ankalaev, like, got proper underhooks and, like, tossed him a little bit.
And then he's also the guy who... against Ankalaev, where he said he was just pretending to be hurt and the ref stopped the fight. He's not the smartest of guys, but he came out like a house on fire, like he always does, because he's very, very angry. And has to show how tough he is. So, and after he won at least Michael Bisping was putting out the thoughts that was a 10-8 round, which I was thinking, yeah, it probably was, because he was really putting the hurt on Jacoby. After that, I thought, okay, here we go. We're going to end up with a draw, because that seemed to be the way it's headed, because Kudalaba tends to tire himself out, because once he burns off all that anger, he gets tired the last couple rounds, and that's when Jacoby poured it on. And lo and behold, we had ourselves a split draw, and that's a fight Dan and I had different picks in, so it would have been nice for one of us to get a winner there, but alas, we did not.
Yeah, and I would say too, I totally agree with the draw, right? Like, I thought Jacoby won the last two. I don't think there's any problem with the elbows that Jan Kudalaba was landing that we give him a 10-8 first. You know, I was kind of hoping it was a 10-9, because I was kind of hoping I was kind of hoping Jacoby was going to steal it, because not only do I like Jacoby because he was a guest on my show, not only did I picked him against you and wanted that, but, like, also, like, he's a super nice guy, and Jan Kudalaba's, like, he's a dumbass. Like, he's just the type of guy you want to see lose. So he sort of entered that Mike Perry realm for me, where I just kind of hope he gets beat enough that I don't have to see him anymore.
Yeah, he's Jeremy Stevens, Mike Perry is one of those guys that attacks people at weigh-ins. He's one of those guys. So,
well, Mike Perry's never attacked people at weigh-ins, but he has done.
He attacks people outside
at bars, various other places, various other locales.
Yes, inanimate objects and whatnot also. But, you know, that was a pretty decent fight, but I had a feeling we were gonna get kissing your sister type outcome there, where no one wins and we end up with a tie. So then we had Sean Strickland, who said he fought like a coward, he says, but he beat Christoph Jocko pretty handily, 3-2 on two scorecards, 2-1 on another. So his star is still on the rise. He's very firmly top 5, top 10 middleweight, and very surprisingly and very, very quietly. Yeah. Moved his way up in there.
Yeah, he looked good again. I will say the thing that continues to impress me of him at middleweight is somehow his hands look faster than they did at welterweight. And he looks way better cardio-wise, too. So, you know, just another great example of a guy who just needed to go up weight before he looked a whole heck of a lot better. But, yeah, I think it's time for him to fight one of the guys, you know, you see up there all the time. You know, somebody with some sort of name value, like a Calvin Gastelum or, you know, not Chris Weidman because Chris Weidman's leg exploded, but somebody of that nature.
Yeah, let me see who in my rankings, who we got around him. We've got Hermanson, Till, Costa, Uriah Hall, Jerry Cannonier. Do you like any of those names for him?
They all seem a little too high for him. Like, he's on a good run, but I think each of those guys is only a win or two away from a title shot, and I think he's probably a little more than that. So I like somebody a little bit further down.
Yeah, Gastelum was all right. You mentioned him. Who else we got? Jacare, Brett Tavares. How about Shabazzian? Would you like to see him fight a young guy like that?
That's right around the right level for me. Right. Somebody like Edmund Shabazzian or not Jacare, but who was the other one you said there?
Tavares.
Tavares. I'd watch him fight Tavares. I'd watch him fight Gastelum. I'd watch him fight Edmund Shabazzian. Someone in that sort of tier for me.
You'll watch him fight no matter who he fights. Who are you kidding?
We'll have $100 on it too.
Exactly. It's your job, damn it. And then starting off the main card, Mirab Dvalishvili did exactly what we expected. He out-wrestled Cody Stamann 3-0, 2-1 on two scorecards. One judge had it 3-0. Yeah, very impressive performance. Wasn't a finish or anything flashy, but you know, he did exactly what we expected him to do, and he's on his way up also in bantamweight.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me too, because this was I picked Mirab. I thought Mirab had a great chance of winning here, but this was the first time since he last lost a fight where, you know, arguments could be made for him winning that fight still against Ricky Simon. In the last six fights that he's won in a row, which have all been unanimous decisions, this is the first time he fought somebody with some pretty substantial wrestling in his game, in Cody Stamann, right? Because Tarion Ware, Brad Katona, Casey Kenny, Gustavo Lopez, John Dodson's got a little bit, but like this was a much bigger step up into the wrestling department, which is interesting because obviously there are some guys who can wrestle at the top of this division, right? The Peter Jans, and he probably won't ever fight Aljamain Sterling because they're like best friends. But like somebody of that nature is going to give him a tougher time with wrestling. So it was good to see him pass that test with flying colors here.
Do you have someone in mind for him, or you want me to throw names out from the rankings close? He's probably would be cracking the top 15. He already was in the UFC's top 15. He wasn't in mine yet because he doesn't have a lot of finishes. But he's right in my rankings. He's right in the range of Jimmy Rivera, Frankie Edgar, Casey Kenny, who he already fought, Dominic Cruz, Marlon Vera, Pedro Munoz is a little higher. Anybody in mind?
For me, I kind of like to see him fight. I'd like to see him fight somebody like Pedro Munoz, who's got good sub abilities and stuff like that. I don't think that's a fight Pedro Munoz wants right now, or be eagerly signing up for. So, you know, if you look at that, like, top 10 in the UFC rankings and stuff like that, like, I kind of feel like this is the type of fight they give Rafael Assuncao, right? Like, that motherfucker will take that dude will take a fight against anybody. And it's like, hey, Rafael Assuncao, thanks for accepting another fight. Would you like to fight another guy who's a terrible stylistic matchup for you? Right, like the poor bastard has fought back-to-back-to-back-to-back Marlon Moraes, Corey Sandhagen, and Cody Garbrandt, and they just keep giving him guys like that. So, line him up with Assuncao, and let's see. Although, I think Assuncao's booked already. Damn, I think he is.
Yeah, it sounds
He's
it
fighting
sounds
Co-
like
Kyler Phillips. He might be fighting Tyler Phillips, which is
the ultimate bro.
Yeah.
Which, the ultimate bro.
I will also say Kyler Phillips versus Mirab Dvalishvili wouldn't be boring. Maybe just give him the winner of Assuncao and Phillips.
Yep. There we go. We're doing your job for you, UFC, because I know you're listening. Make sure we don't say anything bad about Dana, or it'll go in his binder of all. Did you hear about that? He apparently gets like a binder of all like stories about him, apparently, and like negative ones and
that's
stuff.
That's a weird move. I don't think I've ever been in that binder, but is that where he got the inspiration for that weird black and white video where he like slandered a whole bunch of journalists being
who knows?
A big event would be dumb, and like all of the journalists were like, yeah, we still stand by that. It was dumb.
Exactly. It's true. But I did, everyone worried about me. I did get my first vaccination shot on Friday.
Yeah.
So Canada
catching up with the times.
Finally. So like 40% of us Ontarians have got our at least one shot. So there you go. We're moving on up. All right. Before we'll rip through the prelims, then we'll tell you about next week's wacky card. Let me tell you about our last two awesome sponsors who help keep us in your ear holes. Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check it out. And I have to learn how to read properly. You have to check out there. It's not written right. It's not my fault. It's our bosses who wrote this incorrectly. Let's try again. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check out their fantasy best ball tournaments. They're some of the best around. Even better is their NFL Draft Weekend Special. Sign up between April 29th and May the 4th, and you'll have a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. When you go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN, you will get $25 free, which you can use to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament. SGP will be running a private Best Ball drafts for the listeners as well. It's a limited time offer that ends May the 4th. So you got, 2 days when you hear this? So maybe even one day if you're not listening to this till the 3rd. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And then what I talked about earlier, Betterland.Vegas is where you got to see my freshly shorn face on the weekend. Betterland.Vegas is like YouTube, but for what hashtag the gens only care about, which is sports betting. And us good people at SGPN are giving out free daily video picks over on our Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. Make sure you subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. I'm thinking if I gave you what I gave you, Prohashka via knockout, I gave you that winner. I gave you Gia Chikaze, so I gave you a winner there. I gave you TJ Brown. I gave you three winners last week. Amazing. And one of them was an underdog, one of them was a prop bet. You would have got plus money on both of those. And then over on Top Turtle, Dan's Better Than Vegas page with his other podcast family. Did you have winners on that one?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I also gave Prohashka by KO as a prop bet. Go. And then I did say TJ Brown, but I did I went with like crazy sub bet. TJ Brown by submission at +650. Which sadly didn't pan out. And we'll talk about that fight in a second. It looked like he didn't want to wrestle at all.
Talk about it now.
Yeah, that's why was he wrestling?
Yeah, why was Kai Kamaka III out wrestling TJ Brown? We're counting on him to wrestle his way to a victory. We're very lucky we got that victory, a split decision, but he did not win that fight. And none of the people at MMA Decisions, none of the media members who entered scores had him winning that fight either. So we stole money on that one.
Yeah, I didn't score it for him. I definitely scored it for Kai Kamaka. I can see how somebody, I'll say this, the 29-28 scorecard for TJ Brown that two of the judges had is actually more excusable than the 27-30 card for Kai Kamaka that the last guy had. So I don't think any of the judges got it right. I actually think it was 29-28 for Kamaka, and it was pretty clear that way. But I can see how you would give two rounds to Brown. He did end both of those rounds with some dominant positions, the second and the third. Yeah. I don't think it was enough to steal the second. I think he won the third pretty handily, but which is why it's crazy to give Kamaka all three. But when they read that decision, I was like, ooh, I picked him, but that is wrong.
I don't know how two judges can have it 2-1 for Brown and one judge can have it 3-0 for Kamaka. That's a pretty strange scorecard, to say the least, but we won. So, hey, and it was plus money. So, hey, what are you going to do about it? Hey,
it's the MMA gods taketh and the MMA gods giveth away. Yeah.
It means we have some tough beats, coming up.
I think we took our tough beats already though, didn't we?
Okay, good. Yeah,
we got screwed earlier.
That's true. But there were quite a few, I think, that we did get screwed on. But nevertheless, the fight after that was the main event was the only other technically it was a finish, right? It was a disqualification versus an illegal upkick. I told Dan on Twitter, do not trust us filthy Canadians because we act like we're nice. We are polite, but we're like Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver. We're polite to your face, but we're weasels behind your back. And Random Marcos cheated and kicked Luana Pinheiro with an illegal upkick. And I rip through these fights quick. I don't really stick around and listen to the talking about it afterwards and stuff. But apparently people are thinking Pinera was acting. Once I saw it was an illegal kick and the fight was over, I just moved on to the next because I've got a website to run and I don't want to be up all night. But yeah, I'm hearing chatter that people are thinking she had her actress cap on there and she wasn't really rocked from that illegal upkick.
I think that comes out every single time somebody he does that. And I would also say she asked her translator, what happens if I can't continue?
Okay.
So that like automatically, whether or not you think she's laying it on thick or not, like when somebody says that, you're instantly like, that's a question you don't want to hear. You just want to hear, can I fight or not? Not like I'm clearly rocked, but I don't want to no contest and half my paycheck. It's like maybe not the perfect sign that she wasn't rocked because there are reasons somebody would ask that. Like I said, the paycheck. I don't know. There's no way of knowing. I'm not a doctor.
No.
I'm not there. I'm not in her brain. But I will say it was very fucking illegal.
Yes, it was. And, you know, she didn't look all there to me. Maybe she's a really good actress. But
Her eyes kept looking
her eyes were out of it.
Weirdly glassy and out of there. I would say she looked more messed up than Aljo did when he got kneed.
Right.
She looked in worse shape than Diego Sanchez when he quote-unquote won that fight with Michelle Pereira. Either she's a far better actor than the other two or she definitely was rocked.
And it's dumb. Like, it's dumb to question these things. We don't question it in any other sport. If someone's fouled in the NBA,
that's
then
not true. They question the hell out of soccer.
That's true.
They question the hell out of soccer.
Soccer is true. Yep. I forgot about that. But she had no reason to want to get out of that fight because she was looking very good in it. She was, her judo throws on Marcos, whose specialty is wrestling, were super impressive.
The one over the shoulder was so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So she looks like a fun fighter, but, so once again, you don't pick Canadians people. Like I said, you don't trust us or pick us. And, won some money on that one again, cause you picked against the Canadian. Then as mentioned earlier, we whiffed on Luana Carolina, who came in overweight. So she's a cheater. She cheated us out of money. She beat Pollyanna Botello, close fight, a split decision, but I think that one was the correct call. She out wrestled her and stole that third round. Didn't steal it, but she dominated the third round basically.
It was mostly sweeps for her too, right? Like Botello instigated a lot of the takedowns, but it was a lot of like as Botello shot the takedown and worked for the takedown, like Carolina flipped the switch, right? Like Carolina, you know. And that was impressive, especially for somebody who I've kind of written off for grappling in the past. So that's the one I got wrong. I feel pretty good about that one being wrong, though, because it was damn good close fight. She missed weight. And let's be honest, I'm not really high on either of them.
No shame in losing that one. Luma looked boomy. She's got some wrestling. She grappled pretty good against Sam Hughes. Is a wrestler, is she not?
Sam Hughes, I believe, has some sort of wrestling background, or at least has won a whole bunch of fights. And Loma with those, and I guess wrestling is true. Like we could call it wrestling, but it's more. I mean, it's Muay Thai foot sweeps, right? Like that's what she's using. She's using. And actually, if you read the article on MMA-manifesto.com about Loma Lukbume going into this fight, you would have read that I am enamored with her foot sweeps because I think they are just, first of all, they're beautiful. They're just like so fun to watch from an aesthetic standpoint. But also when you consider the fact that she is an atomweight, she's not even a strawweight. She belongs a weight class down, but because the UFC doesn't have it, she keeps fighting these women like Sam Hughes who are enormous compared to her, and not only are they enormous and have wrestling backgrounds, but she just keeps dumping their ass on the ground with these foot sweeps. And I mean, like, you have to ask, if they did have a 105 division, man, she's got to be right there at the top, right?
Yeah, they should just shut her featherweight, women's featherweight, and start atomweight, because there's plenty of
atomweight's like, got amazing Michelle Waterson talent globally.
Yeah, Waterson, Lukbumi,
Jessica Penne used to fight at atomweight.
Yep, Jin Yu Fry.
No, and that's just people who are already signed. Like You know, if you look over in Japan and stuff like Sohihom is nasty. Hamasaki's nasty. She's fought like Sohihom a couple of times. But like, women's atom weight has a lot of potential. And they're like super violent women too. So I really wish they would add that division. And if they do, man, it would look like Loma would do some real. I mean, she's doing damage at strawweight.
Yep. She's looking good. Before that, Andreas Michailidis beat KB Bular, another Canadian who I told you not to pick. And lo and behold, he did not look good in this fight. He was, you know, waiting around for the action we brought to him and wasn't given much back in return. He lost 3 rounds to none on 2 cards. Then he stole a third round on the third card. But onward and upwards for Michailidis, who I liked him in his debut, and now he's actually got a win under his belt. So hopefully he can keep moving on up the middleweight rankings.
Yeah, agreed. And it really lackluster performance for KB Buller. That was my huge takeaway. Like he didn't look like he wanted to be in there, to be honest.
Yeah, he's probably gone after that.
Yeah, and you know, you hate to say that they're gonna fire him after 2 straight losses. That was the way it was, like, what, 10 years ago? Like 10 years ago you lost 2, you were out. But like he's lost 2 and been knocked out by a jab and like then landed like what, 12 punches or something like that in a 15-minute fight. So yeah, I can't imagine the UFC wants to see more of what KB Buller has to offer at this point.
Yep, he did not go out there and look like a savage or what's the other
killer
thing they call killer. Yes, killer. He was not a killer nor a savage. And then this is where we differed, where Dan got his one up on me. The starting of the night, featherweights Felipe Calares. Dan had him. I tried to pretend that Dan didn't pick him, but he called me on it and like, oh yeah, you're right, you did pick Calares. He beat Kulhan Luke Sanders. A pretty good fight. Sanders looked very good in the first round, but Calares got the last two and he won 2 rounds to 1.
I think exactly what happened, what I said was going to happen, is that, look, I love Luke Sanders, but his fight IQ is really fucking bad. Right? Like, he just keeps doing things where you're like, really? What are you doing? I'm not surprised he lost. It is really bad for his career that he's losing to a guy who's not even in his weight class, right? Because Calares is a big.
That's right, yeah. Yep.
And you know, like, he didn't beat him really well, right? Like, he didn't, like, beat the brakes off of him, but he beat him pretty good. So, kind of disappointing for sure.
Yep, 2 straight losses, 3 out of 4 for Sanders. So that's not looking so great for him. So, and then with bonuses, main event Prochazka Reyes got 50,000, and Prochazka got another 50,000 for his knockout. So he made 100 grand in bonuses, and he made about the same in his regular pay. So he basically doubled his pay in bonuses. And then Chikeze got the other 50 grand. So, pretty easy night to call the bonus winner since there's only 2 finishes there.
I will say there were other really good fights that were,
no, they're good fights.
Up
yes,
for interpretation for fight of the night, right? Like,
right.
I wouldn't have been shocked if they gave fight of the night to TJ Brown, Kai Kamaka. That was a lot of fun. Even Felipe Carlares versus Luke Sanders was fun.
Yeah, that was good too.
Kudalaba versus Jacoby. I guess the
savages.
They're savages. But the second and third round, I guess, a little more boring between those two.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, round one was fight of the night. So
once that spaz anger, once he burns off his spaz anger, he tends to turn back to Dr. Bruce Banner, and he's not quite so hulking out. Kudalaba, that is. So. Yeah, the one round was fun. That's for sure.
Yeah. So there were other choices for fight of the night, but ultimately, yeah, you're right. I usually have a beef with who they're giving it to, especially when they load it up on the top of the card. But in this case, it makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Which brings us to, we've danced around this, next week's card, May 8th. It is UFC and ESPN TBD versus TBD. it's a tough one to call because they're so evenly matched, like, even the names TBD. I think We'll make our picks, obviously, on our podcast that comes out on Wednesday and Thursday morning. But I think at this point, I'm leaning towards TBD. Your thoughts, Dan?
The only thing about that, though, is that there's a lot of unknowns with TBD.
That's true. Very. Yeah, that's very on both sides, though. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a tough one to call.
All right. In all seriousness, it was supposed to be Corey Sandhagen versus TJ Dillashaw, and that lovable TJ Dillashaw got himself hurt. This is supposed to be his first fight back in 2 years suspension for doing EPO and who knows what else. But he got cut, so he got headbutted in training. So and Sandhagen wants to stick around and fight him. He wants to wait around, so he's off the card also. So it looks like they're going to put, as we mentioned in the last show, Michelle Waterson versus Marina Rodriguez for the main event, which Dan got very excited about because for some reason he wants to see the lovely Michelle Waterson, the lovely karate mom. He wants to see her get beat up real bad.
I don't want to see her get beat up real bad, but like once in a while, and I don't mean it's just about Waterson, but just once in a while, you want to see everybody's darling, because that's what she is. She's a fan favorite for some inexplicable reason, most likely her Instagram. But like, there is once in a while where you just want to see that person have the ever-loving shit beat out of them by a violence monster like Marina Rodriguez, right? Because that's what Marina Rodriguez is. Also, I've been singing the praises of Marina Rodriguez for a while. I think she is a very impressive boxer. I think she's got a lot of chops. I think she's going to be really fun in this division. I was impressed as hell with what she did against Amanda Ribas. But she needs that signature win, and, like, this would be it. You know what I mean? Like, this would be what she needs to catapult herself into that conversation.
Main event on ESPN, we'll do that for you. So, but here in the fights that have fallen off his card, so you got Dillashaw Sandhagen off. You had Holly Holm versus Juliana Pena. That's off. What else do we have? Neil Magny, Jeff Neal. That one is off.
Wait, that one's off? Are you sure?
Yeah, it says. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That one is on.
That one's on. Okay, I thought so.
it got pulled off another card. So anyhow, they've lost a lot of... and they were supposed to have Diego Sanchez versus Donald Cerrone. And
only one of those guys is still in the company.
Weirdo Sanchez is gone. Weirdo Diego Sanchez is gone. So I would say it's a tragic story, a guy who's taken that much head trauma, and obviously he's not thinking right now, but he always was a weirdo, so I don't think it has anything to do with any of the shots he's taken to his head. So
no, and it has more to do with his guru than anything else.
Exactly.
There were some other fights too that fell off too, because originally Jimmy Flick was supposed to fight, and I was a big Jimmy Flick guy, and then that motherfucker just straight up retired in the middle of the
retired
night.
He was supposed to,
the weirdest thing ever.
Figueredo. It was very strange.
Roxanne Modafari tore a meniscus. Like a bunch of sad losses on this card, but I will say, despite the big name value losses, there's still a lot of very fun stylistic pieces in there.
Oh yeah. Hopefully Cerrone, he's fighting TBD also, so TBD is gonna be busy, very busy. Taylor Santos is fighting TBD also, so TBD is going to be in four fights, including the main event, where TBD is going to fight against themselves. So it's TBD is going to be busy. So hopefully Cerrone gets an opponent. Hey, we're down for it. Angela Hill, Amanda Ribas, that'll be fun. Neil Magny, Jeff Neal will be fun. Carlos Diego Ferreira versus Gregor Gillespie, that'll be fun. So yeah, there's plenty of fun fights. Plus, as I've said before, it does not matter if the fights are fun. It does not matter if it's big names. You can make money off these fights. You can bet on them. So it doesn't matter to you degenerates who's fighting or how exciting they are or what they look like or anything like that, because you can bet on it. That's all that matters.
That's I can't think of anything else.
Exactly. So we'll wrap it up on that. Are we giving you enough? That's enough free content for your e-holes. Before your homework, before you listen to us again on what Wednesday night is, obviously read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan just put in print our 10 commandments to MMA betting. So that definitely is up. Everyone who's listening to this podcast is all definitely up your alley. So you read all our stuff there. You can read all our stuff at MMA-manifesto.com also. And I will be having My weekly pick'em contest will be posted on Monday, TBD versus TBD. So make sure you you pick TBD in that one. I'm telling you that's who's going to win. What else can you do? You can listen to Dan's other podcasts if you insist on doing so. He'll make fun of you, though, if you listen to all of three of his podcasts. So yeah, I warn you there. Prelim Picker, where he picks the winners of the prelims. Catchy name for it. There you go. Top Turtle, which is the interview show, and then he also does some degenerate pick gambling picks in there with his co-host. Do you know who is on as interview guests this week? Do you want to tickle everyone's interest here?
We're gonna have Christian Aguilar, who's fighting Carlston Harris, heading into that bout, and I believe, and we're still finalizing this, I believe Gina Danger Mazzani is going to be on as well. She's not fighting for 2 weeks, but she's always like a really good story, especially because she started working at James Krause's Glory MMA Fitness and came out looking like an absolute savage last time out.
Savage. And Christian Aguiar is very annoying to Google because they always want you to Google Christina Aguilera instead.
Yeah, when you're trying
always
to...
Do you really mean this?
When you're trying to do graphics work, like sometimes I need like the UFC's headshots that you know, or just the, like the PNG with the transparent background. So if you type Christian Aguilera .png, they're like, did you mean Christina Aguilera? And you get like seven genie in a bottle PNG files.
Yep, no doubt. So... I can't even remember what was I. Oh, I was talking about the Pick'em contest. Obviously, make sure you check out that. Oh, and we were telling you about Dan's podcast. I destroyed Dan in fantasy baseball this weekend. I thought I mentioned that too. I outscored him again on Sunday. Now that I'm looking at the score, so take
that. I had a bad Sunday. I had a real bad Sunday.
Dan is still like in third, and I'm in seventh. So I don't have much to say about
it's
that.
It's not gonna stay that way if I keep playing like I did today. It's true. So.
And if you keep and you should listen actually to SGPN. We have a new Major League Baseball podcast, which is very good. I think they're going to be doing it twice a week. Make sure you listen to that. It's not just gambling. They also talk about DFS and fantasy baseball and whatnot. So check that out as well. And make sure you subscribe to our feed, obviously. MMA Gambling Podcast. We want to make sure you don't miss out on our amazing 8-2 and 9-1 picks that we had. And we decided we're gonna have winners coming up for TBD too. So, but that is TBD at this point. But no, actually, it's not TBD. But we decided they're gonna be winners. So, the fighters may be TBD, but the picks are definitely going to be winners. And follow us on Twitter, and I'll stop ranting. Jeff Fox, writer, and Gumby Vreeland. Anything else to say, Daniel? Anything to say for yourself?
No, I think that just about does it.
Okay, go. I'll let you wrap it up. You wrap it up this week.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He is Arctic Jex Fox, and we will see you next week.
You kind of butchered my last name, but that's okay.
Fox?
It sounded like you said socks. But okay, bye. Bye, everybody.
We're leaving this in.